The Duly Noted Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at Zaxby's.com. And by Vistar Credit Union with locations across Gator Country. Visit VistarCU.org and also ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. ABC, always be celebrating.
This is Duly Noted, everything Florida Gators, with your host, Pat Duly.
Okay, welcome into another edition of the Duly Noted podcast. Appreciate everybody for listening, for clicking on. We had a pretty great weekend. For those of you who were at the game, I've told fans this before Monday, count yourself with the W. You earned a win. On Saturday, you were a big part of a win. You were part of a team. Like, I'm not going to give you a win for Towson. I won't even give you a win over for Tennessee. They stink. And the place wasn't packed, and it wasn't that big of a factor. It was a huge factor on Saturday. There's no question about it. It was one of the great atmospheres I've ever been around. I've been a lot of places. I've been to Alabama and LSU. I've been to Ohio State and Oklahoma. I've been to Texas. I've been to Super Bowls. That atmosphere was as good as I've ever seen. And what made it great was that it was a sustained noise. It wasn't a noise of, well, we're going to get up because it's third down. Now, on third down, you guys really went way over the edge because it was funny. You know, after second down play, you go, if you're in the press box, you're me, you're writing down the play. And then all of a sudden you would hear this roar and you'd look down and the teams were in the huddle and you go, what is somebody run on the field? Did they No, they're getting ready for third down. They're coming to play. That was as good as it's ever going to get, probably as good as you could ever want it. And it was almost it was a little bit of an argument against taking down the capacity of the Swamp. However, that said, let me tell you, there were empty seats there. There was a nice little pocket up there in the top of the east end zone. So there were empty seats, and Auburn didn't bring a ton of people. They brought their 6,000, and that goes back to what we've talked about before. You cut back on student tickets, you cut back on the tickets you get for the opposing, and you're at 80,000 without any problem. So you could still be just as loud. I don't think there's any question. The best part it was a great weekend. I had a blast all weekend. Everything that could have happened seemed like it happened. We had a huge crowd into the house, friends, good close friends that they do it every year. Trish and Sticks and Julie, Donna. What a blast we had on Friday night. And then Friday morning started out great, interviewing Stacey Nelson, who was tremendous. Got some stuff coming on her. And she is, she's just as interesting as she was when she was here. So that's the way it started. And Saturday was just an amazing day. And, you know, it started out amazing because I went to my wife's tailgate, which I usually don't go to tailgates, but I went there for a little while because all these people were in town. Patrick Young came up. We started talking a little bit. Just one of my favorite people to ever play sports at the University of Florida. Top 10, maybe top 5. You can make that argument. In fact, I will make that argument. But the coolest thing that happened Saturday to me after the game, now we'll talk about the game in just a second, was walking down the interview room, and all these people kept wanting to stop and talk about the game, which was cool. And there was, for example, there was a couple that were on the field from Arkansas, loved the podcast. So we got a picture taken together. People, you know, would see me in the crowd on Saturday and go, "Hey, love your podcast." I was joking with somebody. Nobody ever says I loved your column. You really are a good writer. Not anymore. I used to get that every once in a while. Maybe I'm not as good a writer. Maybe the podcast rules. So we'll do the podcast the best we can and make sure, not that I'm not write well and tried not to write well, but anyway, we're running into Pat Bates, former Florida golfer down there on the field, running, you know, Megan Mullen, we talked for a while. Brian Clark, the former Florida place kicker, we had a great conversation. It was interesting. Megan was telling me that she goes, did you say something about a statue for Dan? And I go, well, yeah, I was on a Sirius show, Sirius XM, and they asked me what happens if Florida runs a table on these four SEC games, which would mean you beat Auburn, LSU, and South Carolina and Georgia. And I said, well, we'll probably have to put out a special section, and they may start working on the statue for Dan Mullen. And she laughed, and I said, yeah, but look, that is a formidable task. But, you know, what you say? One down. Let's see what happens next. We're not going to talk a lot about LSU on this podcast because, as you know, the post-game podcast is more about what happened. And we're going to get into a lot of some of the other things in college football. We'll talk a little bit about LSU, but obviously it just became a bigger game when Florida won. If Florida had lost that game to Auburn, it would still be a big game. It wouldn't be as big a game. All right, so we'll take a break, which we like to do around this time, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the football part of Florida-Auburn, which was went well for the Gators. Rumor has it. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com.
At Vistar, we believe in better. Better convenience. So members can bank any way they want. Whether it's at a branch, on a mobile device, or at one of more than 20,000 fee-free ATMs across North America. We believe that people have better things to do with their time. If you believe that convenience is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
ABC Fine Wine and Spirits in Florida is family-owned since 1936 and longtime Gator supporters. Did you know Touchdown Terrace was named after the founder, Jack Holloway? There are 122 ABC locations throughout Florida. Shop online at abcfws.com and pick up in-store on the way to your tailgate or game day party. ABC has walk-in coolers for beer and amazing deals every day on wine and spirits. Save $10 on every $100 on wine. ABC Liquors, proud Gator supporters.
Okay, we start out by we're talking about the football part of the game. Brilliant game plan. Both coaches kind of had a weird, they kind of came out passing. You know, I was surprised really early that Auburn came out passing. Florida made Bo Nix look like freshman. Florida did a great job defensively. They did have that gear we talked about. We didn't know if they had that other gear. They had it, and it was magnificent. It was real and it was spectacular, especially defensively. But even offensively, they had, if Florida had lost that game, and Lord knows, when you fumble four times and give the other team the ball three times in your territory on fumbles, was it three or four? Three, right? May have been four. You're usually going to lose that game. When you leave a guy wide open behind the defense, he's usually going to score a touchdown. In this case, Seth Williams had to dive for the ball because it was a little overthrown. When you got a guy running free down the sideline, he usually doesn't trip on the 35. So there were some things that almost defied logic that Florida did to win that game. But this goes back to Dan Mullen's ability to win football games. He's really good at it. And he also knows he doesn't have to win the game the way even that he's game planned it. All right, I've got, you know, you come in with your game plan. Here's what we're going to do. We've practiced all week. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do all that stuff. But if we have to make a change, yeah, we're going to do that too. Now, obviously, there were some things that were a little squirrely in that first half. It was the craziest first half you could possibly see. In fact, Robbie and I were talking. It felt like they played a whole game. You know, there had been so much stuff that had happened. It had taken so long. You know, all the fumbles, all the turnovers, all the targeting on Obviously, Damian Pierce, it was not called, nor was it reviewed. Let me go back and say this. Every play is reviewed. People say, why wasn't that reviewed? Well, it was reviewed. They didn't blow down and stop play because there was already a stoppage in play. It was reviewed. I looked at it the first time I saw it. I said, I think he got him with his shoulder. Then I watched it again. I go, no, he didn't. He got him with his helmet. That's helmet to helmet. Also, I don't think shoulder to helmet would have knocked him cold. But I got a response from the SEC, and they said, look, our guy reviewed it in the booth. He decided it wasn't targeting. Case closed. I would love to get Steve Shaw and say, hey, I want to, you show me why this isn't targeting. But it's not that big a deal right now. It was a big deal to Damian Pierce, who got knocked out of the game. There were some penalties that I thought should have been called. I think there was some grounding that could have been called. But in the end, none of it mattered. It didn't. You know what else didn't matter? Homecoming didn't matter. Homecoming matters to a lot of people. Didn't matter to the football game. If Auburn, I mentioned this in my column, if they really needed that chip on their shoulders, they were in trouble. I don't think they use it. I don't think it helped them. And I obviously, when you lose a game, you can say it clearly didn't help you. But I will say this. Their defensive line is as advertised. They were tremendous. Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson. I mean, they just kept bringing guys at you that were just tremendous. And for Florida, again, to find a way around that, score 24 points, that's what Mullen does. You know, you knew going into that game, 24 would probably win it. What did they get? 24. A lot of people didn't think they'd get anything. But they got it. And it was a gutsy effort by Kyle Trask to come back in after that knee injury. You know, he went in and he thought he was done. But they said you could see those guys working with his leg going, hey, you know, this is a, I think it's an injury, but it's not a serious injury. And I'm guessing they gave him some kind of a cortisone shot like you usually do in that. And I've had many of them. It makes your knee feel better. It'll be sore. It's probably real sore today, but he's got a brace and everything, and he should be fine for Saturday's game. But it was a gutsy effort for him to want to come back there. And again, Mullen said did a good job. No, what am I talking about? Mullen said this, and he's absolutely right. That's what I'm trying to say. That after all that Kyle Trask went through, he wasn't coming out. If he could play, he wasn't coming out of that game. Now, give credit to Emory Jones for coming in there and playing really well, driving him down to a field goal. I mean, there were so many heroes in this game. Evan McPherson was a hero. Tommy Townsend, who had the fake punt that didn't work, and I thought, my opinion, Tommy could have made an athletic move, and it would have worked. I thought it was still there. They had one guy make a really nice play, but I thought he could. But he didn't make it. It probably wasn't a smart call the way Florida's defense is playing. At that point, I personally didn't think it was. As soon as he started to run, I went, no, it's not there. But then I said, well, maybe it is. No, it is. I thought I was right the first time. So we had all that in the first half. Just a crazy first half. But there were so many heroes. That offensive line, much maligned. Got to give them credit. They did enough. They opened enough holes. They protected the quarterback enough to win the game. Defense, ridiculous. Might have been the best defensive performance I've ever seen out of a Gator football team. And I say that, and you know immediately somebody's going to say, what are you talking about? Were you at the national championship game when they beat Ohio State? Were you at the national championship game when they beat Oklahoma? Who scored 1,000 points a game? Good point. Did you ever see Florida shut out a team? Yeah, you're right. I think with what was on the line, that was top five anyway, right? You got to give it top five defensive performances. To hold a team like Auburn to 2 point or 2 first downs in the first half. I mean, that's almost unheard of. That's old school Muschamp offense, right? 2 first downs in the first half, and then to shut them out in the second half. Okay, all right, we held you to 2 first downs in the first half. this half, we're going to shut you out. How do you like that? Amazing. I thought the biggest play of the game might have been that Donovan Steiner pick in the end zone. I mean, they're going ahead, right? And what I thought was great about that play is Bo Nix was looking him off. You know, this wasn't like he stared him down and he was looking him off, but Steiner stayed disciplined. And that was the key. He stayed right there and waited for it. Boom, pick off. Heck, if he had kept his feet, he might have gone for a touchdown. But that was the theme of the day. Discipline. No penalties on defense. Five on offense, one on special teams, none on defense. Discipline. Relentless effort. All the things that are the Gator standard that Dan Mullen preaches, they did. They did every one of them. And then, of course, at the end, the Pirine run, which was some scheme, some blocking, a lot of Pirine. Because Brett Heggie actually fell off his block, and that allowed the linebacker to get a shot at Pirine. He broke that tackle. And I want you, if you haven't, go to my Twitter page if you're on Twitter, or if you're not, you ought to find it. But Olivia, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I see her every once in a while, but I don't really know how to pronounce her last name. It's Granaiolo, whatever it is. I just don't know her very well. In fact, I don't know her at all. I know that she works for Gator Vision, does some ESPN Gainesville work. She did the video that you probably have seen. I retweeted it. I've watched it 1,000 times. And it is the coolest thing where the crowd's kind of quiet. You know, Florida's got the ball. They're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be doing the wave. You guys, I give you $100 each, every fan there, for not doing the wave when Florida had the ball. That's, I don't know why they insist on doing it, but, okay, I don't have $100 for every fan. But if I did, I would give it to you. But the video is the crowd's quiet. You see Pirine break or come up to the line, break the first tackle and cut to the outside, and the crowd goes from probably one or two in terms of noise to six. And then he breaks the last tackle on the safety, and that noise is amazing. The noise and the crowd reaction of losing their minds, it is one of the coolest videos I've ever seen. And I give her a ton of credit. I know she's getting a lot of pub for it, and she deserves it. That was a great shot. And, you know, it was a great scheme, too, because Florida put all the receivers to the left. They've been hitting them with short passes. That left that safety. He was the only guy. Nobody else could get near him. And, of course, as the story goes, P. Ryan was told by Auburn he wasn't fast enough. Showed he was fast enough. So anyway, there you have it. There's the game. It was just an amazing game. It was a lot of fun to be in the Swamp. And Mullen said it best in the pregame when he said, look, he didn't say this, but I'm going to paraphrase what he said and what he was thinking. I get it. Sometimes you guys want to stay home. We're playing Towson. We're playing Tennessee Martin. Sometimes you'd rather stay home and watch college football on TV. I get that. We love it when you do come. And we still had almost 80,000 for Towson. Okay? But this was a game where not only do we need you, not only do you need to be here, not only do you need to get there early and make a lot of noise early, but you're going to be glad you did. You're not going to want to be the guy who stayed home and said, I don't want to go to that game. It's too hot. You want to be in the yard for a game like that, for a result like that. Now, it's funny when Karen and I guess it would have been the 08 game against Georgia, and Kelsey was young, and we decided not that she wouldn't go to the game. Karen wouldn't go to the game. And Joe Hayden had that pick where he ran all the way back to the three. It was like a 90-yard return. And Karen texts me. She goes, that's why I want to be there. I mean, she enjoyed it on TV, but that's why she wanted to be there. And I thought about that when Dan Mullen said what he said, and he's right. There are games and there are moments. Would you not want to have been, if you were there for the Callaway play, Will Greer to Callaway, or Will Greer the heave to Cleave, or the block kick by Jarvis Moss, or the last 2 minutes of the FSU game in 91. Would you not want to? Would you rather have been watching it on TV? And that's what you try. That's why you've got to continue to schedule better teams. But I'm not going to get off on a scheduling rant. I'm just the sad. One thing I thought about while I was sitting there, and the crowd. There was a point where I'm watching the game, and I'm like, "How are these people still yelling? They can't. Their vocal cords have got to be fried. How are they still yelling? But they're yelling is just as loud as they were in the first quarter. How are they doing this? It's a miracle." You know, so I'm watching this and I'm like, I just don't understand how they could be doing that. And then I thought to myself, yeah, you're right, SEC. We don't need more of this. We don't need more of Florida Auburn. Just every 7 or 8 years, every 12 years in the swamp. That's, you know, that's perfect. That's a perfect, now, you know, a perfect logical explanation. We don't want any more of this kind of atmosphere. Dummy. It's just dummy. Look, I'm not blaming the conference, the SEC, Greg Sankey, all the good people that are there. Although I think Greg does lean that way. I'm blaming the ADs who are so consumed with going 6-6 that they won't allow good teams to come in there. They don't want more good teams to come in there. But again, I promise no scheduling rant. Okay, let's take a break, and we will bring in my good friend Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. He was at the game Saturday, and he'll be at Oklahoma, Texas this week. Does a great job covering college football, and been a good friend for a long time. Take a break. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or visit Zaxby's.com. Okay, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast. Appreciate everybody for clicking on, and we are privileged to be joined by the great Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, who does a wonderful job, has for many years. That kind of means you're old, you know, Dennis. I hate to say it.
Oh, that definitely means I'm old. You're right.
You were here in Gainesville on Saturday, and I just wanted to get your impressions, A, about the crowd, which has been the talk of the town around here, and B, about the way Florida played in that game.
Yeah, it kind of hit me after the game how big a deal the crowd was. Like, it was like the old days. And especially after Towson, where I think it was less than full, and, you know, it was Towson, so there wasn't much enthusiasm. That was like the old days. And yeah. Florida's good. And I was around outside in the tailgates a lot, and it just had that feel. It reminded me how special the swamp is when it's in full throat like that. So it was great. But, no, just Florida, I mean, you know, one of those teams was going to come out of that game undefeated. And if you look at their schedule, you don't think they're going to stay undefeated. But I have to give Dan Mullen credit. I think he's a hell of a coach. I mean, that's not a relevant revelation. But he's known as a quarterback guy, an offensive guy. He's got a hell of a defensive coordinator in Todd, obviously. But he knows how to manage a game. He knows, you know, how to stay patient. And that game required a lot of patience until maybe, you know, P. Ryan broke that long run, because that could have gone either way, especially when Bo Nix threw that interception in the end zone when it looked like they were going to drive down. So I just, you know, just that. It's a great game.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, they kind of made Bo Nix look like a freshman quarterback, which and there's no shame in that. I mean, they're freshman quarterbacks sometimes play like freshman quarterbacks, but they didn't do anything exotic defensively. It was a pretty basic defense. They just did their assignments and gave him coverages that screwed him up and got to him, obviously, for some of the mistakes.
Yeah, I think you know, this is not meant as a criticism, but I think Gus had been coaching around him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
because he was a freshman and wasn't a guy who was going to necessarily go down and win the game for you. He was 12 out of 20 for 100 yards against A&M, and then had that big game, I think 16 of 21 for 335 against Mississippi State. You start to think, whoa, okay, maybe this is his coming out. Well, it was Mississippi State, and you're going into the Swamp, and I think the number one storyline going into that game was how Bo Nix deals with you know, being in the Swamp and the crowd and everything. And he could have, if Auburn had got its running game going, which it did for a little while in the second half. But yeah, what Gus likes to do is pound that running game and then hit you with a shot play, which he didn't get many of those off, mostly because Florida wouldn't let him in the passing game.
Yeah, it felt like Gus's plan was, I'm going to come out throwing, and that's going to back you up, so then we'll pound you with the running game. Kind of a reverse of what he really wanted to do. And, I mean, from the first play, which I thought should have been intentional grounding. I mean, if you throw the ball intentionally into the ground, that's intentional grounding by my definition.
Yes.
But from the first play, I mean, they made it clear it was going to be hard to pass. And then when he went to run, they were ready to stop it. And Mullen made a good point, and I think it's true. Florida won the game in the trenches, and I didn't think that was possible in this game.
Right, that's right. You knew defensively it was possible, and I noticed that Jabari Zuniga, who was, you know, supposedly available, did not play. It's an even better accomplishment. You weren't sure that offensive line, which needs work, and yes, is probably not up to par, but hung in there. Just on P. Ryan's touchdown alone, you got to give him credit. They had worn down Auburn enough where I think P. Ryan broke two tackles, the last one against K.J. Britt, who had like a bittersweet game. He made some fantastic plays, but got beaten coverage on the long pass to Freddie Swain and then missed a tackle on P. Ryan. But aside from that, you know, had played a fantastic game. But I thought, hung in there. I said in my game story, it was a line of scrimmage game. Again, a cliche, but that's really what it was. It's 17-13 in the game in the balance in the fourth quarter.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned that one team was going to come out undefeated, but then you look at their schedule and don't think they're going to be that way, and I tend to agree with you on that. But, you know, in theory, Auburn's still alive in this thing.
And yeah, they are.
Because they went out, let me tell you what, they're in the playoff.
Yeah, they can, and they've got who they have left, at least two or three more ranked teams, obviously Alabama.
A&M, LSU.
A&M, LSU. But they've got the opportunities, and I think if Bo Nix gets incrementally better, I think the defense is really good. I mean, I think they just wore down a little bit. I thought played a heck of a game. Derek Brown clinched a spot on the All-America team. Now that guy's unbelievable. For a long part of the game, the best offensive player, two strip and scoops totaling 62 yards in returns.
Yeah, I was telling my daughter that, you know, whoever drafts first is going to draft Tua. They're tanking for Tua down in Miami, as we know. But you could draft Derek Brown, and I wouldn't criticize you.
No, I wouldn't. Just like, where did Quinnen Williams go? I know he went to Buffalo, but where did he go in the draft?
He went, pretty high, but not
top three. Top three.
Yeah. I can't.
You know, again, a foundational guy that, you know, no matter where you line him up, is going to require two blockers. That frees up a lot of things for offenses to do. So he had a fantastic game. You're right.
You know, let's talk a little bit about Florida and the perception nationally, because obviously there was a lot of national media here, people like you and George Schroeder and Andy Staples and guys like that. So they got to see Florida play its best game of the year. But it just this is the beef of Gator fans, is they don't feel like they've been respected. They haven't been sexy, so people haven't been excited about them. They're a defensive team. But, you know, what they've accomplished is pretty darn impressive, and they are 6-0, and I know you have number 5 in your power poll.
Yeah, I am number 5 right outside the playoff just because of what they've accomplished so far. You know, they beat a top-10 team, which – you know, I give teams credit. You know, a lot of teams don't even play top-10 teams, especially like at LSU that went out and got a game with Texas, a home-and-home, that may be the foundation of their playoff run. You don't know. But Yeah, I don't know. I think we were so spoiled, I guess, national media, I guess, observers, that Florida was always so fun, you know, under Urban, under Spurrier. You know, McIlwain won 10, but it just didn't have that same feel. And the same with last year, even though they won 10, but just they kind of scraped it together and then played well at the end and won 3 out of 4. And I think the fans themselves, excuse me, aren't you know, convinced with Felipe Franks.
Sure.
And now, you know, okay, you got your backup. Here we go. See how it goes. So I think better days to come, and they will get and are getting elite offensive talent. It's not there yet, but, you know, this is the way. Teams have won national championships in that league playing the way Florida plays right now. And, again, that's what's so, I think, impressive to me with Dan. He has not let his offensive ego, you know, not take center stage, to be in the wing just to win games. Yeah, he could throw it downfield and try to make more long games and everything and show what a master he is. But, you know, maybe that's not the best play against some of these better teams. So, no, I'm kind of all in on Florida right now. Not exactly fun to watch, but they're interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean they have not been sexy for a while, but
no.
I mean, but you know, they're at the point now where when they score 38 in a game, you're like, whoa, even against Towson, that's great.
That's right.
Yeah. Also, in your power ratings, you have Clemson 8 and Oklahoma 9, which of course kind of flies in the face of the AP poll. I will tell you, I'm an AP voter, and I did very similar things to you in that I said, look, I'm going based on what you've done this year, not who you are,
yeah,
not what your brand is. And I actually have LSU number one because of that win at Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. It hit me a week ago when I'm sitting here going, what are we doing with Clemson? You know, they were jerking around with North Carolina. They hadn't played anybody of note. I don't even know if they beat A&M and kind of slogged around in that. But you just compare them side by side. And I said, well, I'm going to go selection committee. What have they done to date? And, you know, and put it that way. Well, Clemson, I dropped them from, first or second to sixth the week before last. And I can make a compelling argument that that's the way it should be. I wasn't, you know, look at the teams above them. Okay, Wisconsin's undefeated. They've given up 29 points all season. Auburn, we know what they've done. They've beaten two ranked teams, Florida. LSU might have the biggest win of anybody this season. Ohio State, I saw them against Nebraska. That's the best team I've seen all year. Offense, defense, special teams, coaching. Ryan Day may be the coach of the year, national coach of the year. Georgia speaks for itself. They beat Notre Dame. And then Alabama, you know, the biggest argument there is, how do you put Alabama first? And I give credit to Nick for not only committing to RPOs in the spread 3 or 4 years ago, but now Alabama's a Big 12 team. That's the best way to describe them. They run it okay. They play defense okay. But they've got the best set of four of them that I've ever seen, and that's who they are.
Yeah, they're not really elite defense. I think they gave up over 400 yards the last two games. So
And that's going to continue to be the case when you're starting four freshmen. Now, by the end of the year, they could be salty as hell. It's happened before. It happened with Auburn in 2010, where they were, I think at the beginning of November, 57 in total defense, and then ended up winning the national championship. So it can happen, but right now, because of injuries and everything else, they're not very good defensively.
He is Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. We appreciate his time. Go click on CBS Sports, read his stuff, watch his stuff. He's big into video these days.
Yeah. But,
well, that's because you're so good looking. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, but the next step is the hated word makeup. That's where it's going.
Well,
I see why people use makeup. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, good luck with the makeup. We'll be right back after this break with more of the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. I'm your host, Pat Dooley, from the Gainesville Sun and Gatorsports.com, and this is the Duly Noted Podcast presented by Zaxby's. Okay, we will move forward now and on the Duly Noted podcast. Thanks again to Dennis Dodd for being on. But I'm not going to get into LSU because that's for Thursday, right? You guys know that. I will just tell you this. Everybody's going to pick LSU. I'll probably pick LSU. They're huge favorites, 14 points. It seems a little high, but the wise guys know what they're talking about. And when I say that, I don't mean they know LSU's going to win by at least 14. They know where to put the spread so the money comes in. You put a spread that, like if you put the spread at 6, people are going to kind of stay away from it. You put it at 14, there's going to be a lot of Gator money on that. And I don't mean just Gator fans. I mean smart guys that bet for a living. They're going to say, well, Florida's defense may not give up 14 points, right? Well, we'll talk more about the Florida-LSU game. But just know that as much love as your team is getting from the Gator Nation, it's still not out there. It's still – I use this line in my Thursday column, I believe it is. I got to get ahead of the chains when you're going on the road. Got to get your columns done early. But Florida is still – nobody's in love with Florida, but she's starting to look a little better. You know, it's getting closer to 2 o'clock. She's starting to look a little better over there in the corner. But nobody's in love still with them. And that's the thing. As we mentioned just earlier, you know, Auburn's still in this thing. Florida could lose at LSU and not be eliminated. In fact, in a way, Florida's playing with a little bit of house money. I felt like they had to split these two games to have any shot at their hopes and dreams. And their hopes and dreams, let's face it, are to win the SEC East, play in the SEC Championship game, and their extreme dream, as I like to call it, their extreme dream is to play in the national championship or get into the playoffs. You can lose to LSU and they're still alive. You couldn't lose both of them. You lose both of them and you're just trying to get to a nice bowl game. In fact, it's funny. In the post game, I mentioned to somebody, I said, you know, guess what? Florida's bowl eligible. Now, most people wouldn't even think about that. But I always think about it because I like bowl games, and now we know Florida's going to be definitely going to a bowl game. I mentioned it to my daughter Monday night, and she went, you're right, Dad, they are. She was excited because she wants to go to a bowl game. At 5-0, I thought they were going to a bowl game, okay? But you never know. Crazy things happen. What did we see happen two seasons ago, 2017? I mean, you didn't think that team wasn't going to a bowl game after they beat Tennessee. And they lost. This went down the tubes, as we all know. So, anyway. There were some. I will say this. Without getting too far ahead, because on Thursdays when we talk about the games that are coming up, and there are some really good games. But I was listening to a show today on Sirius. Sirius needs to start paying me as much as I'm on Sirius. I don't think they will. And they were talking about how fun the second half of the season is going to be. And I was thinking about it, and I went, you're right. You don't want to forget Florida. Just forget the Gators for a minute. We've got so many teams that could be in the playoff now. We weren't thinking this 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we're sitting around going, you know, it's the same team. It's going to be Alabama, Clemson, and it still might be. But you think of teams with legitimate chances to get to the college football playoff. Obviously, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Georgia, LSU, Florida, Wisconsin, Penn State. Texas, with that one loss, can still get in. Now, they've got their game against Oklahoma, and that's going to decide. They can be eliminated this week. Auburn, as we talked about, definitely could still get in. They went out. They're in. I can promise you that. Notre Dame, with its one loss, I'm not sure can, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Their schedule isn't that tough the rest of the way. They got USC this week. I don't know that it would stand up. No championship game at the end, 11-1. I think Notre Dame's got to go undefeated every year. And that is the liability of not playing in a conference and with a conference championship game for them. As much as they get respected, over-respected probably, I don't think they'd get in. Oregon, if they went out, it'd be hard to see it. A lot of really good things would have to happen for them, but they're a really good team. You know, defensively, they're really something. Boise State, undefeated. Boise! I think they're this year's UCF. They'll probably go to a really nice bowl game and have a good time. And the difference is, they'll be okay with that. They're not going to be dummy and try to have a parade and declare a national championship that doesn't exist. But that's a lot of teams to still be in the running halfway through the season. I'm excited about it. I will say this. I don't think the first half of the season, and again, we're not just talking about the Gators here. We're talking about college football. I don't think it was that great. I don't think it was that interesting. There were some interesting things that did happen. And, you know, when you go back to the just talking about the fact that that North Carolina Clemson game, there were other games that we all saw that were interesting, but it hasn't been great. It's been okay. It's been fine. It's been fun in a lot of ways. Florida fans have enjoyed the heck out of it as much as they have complained at different times. But I think this second half of the season has got a chance to be really, really something. Really something. I hope it is. And I'll be sitting in a hotel room Saturday watching a bunch of it before we head over to Baton Rouge. I like Baton Rouge. I think the city's fine. I don't have a problem with Baton Rouge. It'd be in the top five probably in SEC cities, which ain't saying a lot because SEC cities, there's Fayetteville, there's Starkville, it's Columbia, Missouri. It's not great. I actually don't mind Auburn. But, I mean, my only complaint is it's an 8 o'clock game, and none of you care about that because you don't care about – we know that we came up with the rule the other day that nobody cares about my travel. Nobody cares how late I'm on deadline. But we will try to do a Facebook Live Swampcast. We're trying something new because – we've had trouble with some of the other equipment. So hopefully you'll be getting that. We're going to do a lot of things different at this game. So when you pick up your paper, you'll have something. But there'll be something online at GatorSports.com that'll be, you know, I think really special. So make sure you take a look at it. All right, other games from the weekend. Again, this was not a great weekend. We knew it wasn't going to be a great weekend. Florida-Auburn had all the people watching it. The best other game was a dog game, Michigan-Iowa, and I know that Michigan fans are happy, but I'm watching that game, and Coach Spurrier comes by, and he says, Pat Dilley, you watching that Michigan-Iowa game? I go, yeah, Coach. He goes, they need some offensive coaches up there in the Big Ten, don't they? And I'm like, yeah, they do. It was bad. And then Harbaugh has the audacity to say, we're close on offense. You scored 10 points. You scored 0.0 points in the last three quarters. You're not close to anything. He says we're close to hitting our stride. Man, you must have low expectations. But again, now I didn't even include Michigan in that list, but if Michigan wins out, aren't they? I don't think they will. They're going to have to be Penn State and probably Penn State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State. I don't think that's happening. But again, this goes back to what I was talking about. What a great second half of this season is going to be. All right. But other than that, there wasn't much. UCF lost. We don't have to listen to UCF anymore this year. And maybe never. But certainly not this year. Now, the only fear is that, and I don't even looked at, is that they went out and somehow they get matched against Florida. Nobody wants that here. Least of all me. I don't want to deal with that. Okay. Let's go. Are we ready for three things already? I've been going along. What was it, 40 minutes or something? All right, let's do three things, though. I am a little tired today, but I'm tired for the wrong reasons. I'm tired because last weekend took a lot out of me. And you know what I'm talking about. Maybe if on Sunday I'd worked a little harder, I did work and not gone and watch football somewhere, it would have gone better. All right, let's do three things.
It's time for Three Things.
Number one, Game 5 tomorrow, Braves, Cardinals. Not much to say about it. It's been an unbelievable series. It's stressing me out. There is a small, very small part of me, but it's there, that just says, go ahead and get it over and let's be done with it. I can't take the stress. Playoff baseball is nothing like it. And this series has been the best series. It would have been nice to clinch. But you go home, see what happens, man. And it's they're struggling to hit. Bases loaded twice. Could have put the game away. Couldn't do it. See what happens. But I'm just, again, I am thankful that the Braves are in the postseason and that they have won a couple games in the postseason. Everything else to me is gravy, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to be freaking out on Wednesday afternoon. I will be. Number two, let's a little tip of the hat to soccer, Florida soccer. Now 4-0, beat two top 15 teams in a row. You know, I love Becky Burley to death. We talked about it. I was a little bit worried when they got off to that rough start. She had a rough year last year. And I'm like, I don't think she's in any trouble. But I worry about her because I like her so much. Now 4-0 in the conference, South Carolina and Florida, the two teams that are. So I want to make sure we give a tip of the hat. I did in my column, and I wanted to do it here on the Duly Noted podcast. And well done. Well done by them. Keep it going. Finally, number three, the coolest thing I saw this weekend. I saw some weird things this weekend. I saw a score that had never happened in an NFL game. 53-32 had never happened before. There had been 1,050 combinations. That was the first time. I saw a guy have his face mask removed by trainers, but not his helmet. That was Mason Rudolph. That was weird. And then him walk off the field because the cart was broken down. It's interesting. Mike Tomlin said, we had two carts. He wanted to walk off the field. Well, you don't let a guy who's been concussed do what he wants to do. But the coolest thing I saw was Monday night. I don't know when I turned on Baker Mayfield. Like, my daughter loves Baker Mayfield. I think it's because he's cute and everything, according to her. That's what she says. But I kind of turned on him. And, you know, I he's just so immature and such a hothead. And Monday night, watching Joey Bosa get that sack and then doing the reenactment of him planting the flag, which he did at Oklahoma, not at Oklahoma, when he was at Oklahoma at Ohio State, Joey Bosa school, was the coolest thing I saw all weekend. And then Mayfield not shaking hands before the game. I mean, Richard Sherman hit it right on the head. He said, that's college bleep. And he's absolutely right. That is. This is a job. This isn't a game anymore, man. When you get to the NFL, it's a job. You're not playing a game. It's a game in college. In the pros, it's a job. You shake hands. You say, let's go to work against each other. Let's go compete. You don't do that hairy high school crap. Yeah, I've definitely turned on Baker Mayfield. There were two other things I wanted to mention that were candidates for the three things. One was Jay Gruden getting fired. Daniel Snyder, just a brilliant owner. Never has had a coach with a winning record, including he made Steve Spurrier into a coach with a losing record. That's hard to do, as we know. And I'm talking about overall record. And I know somewhere Coach Spurrier saw that story break that Jay Gruden was fired, and he went, can't work for him. He deserves what he gets. You know, Dan Snyder. And that's all I have to say about that. The second thing was, this guy in Penn State. Sorry, I had a brain cramp there for a minute. You may have read this story on Twitter or somewhere else that an old alumnus, season ticket holder at Penn State, wrote a letter to one of the players, whose name was Antonio Shelton, telling him to clean up his act. He didn't want any more dreadlocks. He didn't want guys with tattoos on the team. And they got a hold of him. His name's Dan Peterson. And he said, he didn't think that of that as racist. You know who doesn't think of it as racist? Racist. Of course it's racist. It's exactly what it is. Take a season tickets away, man. That to me is just unbelievable that people, I mean, all right, get off my lawn, you know. Turn your music down. Pull your pants up. Cut your dreadlocks. Racist. All right, that's going to do it for today's Duly Noted. Thanks again. I cannot tell you enough how cool it was on Saturday to have so many people come up to me and tell me they love the podcast. The podcast is the new, what? I don't know. It's what people really seem to enjoy the most that I do. I'll try to do better on the writing and the Swampcast and all that other stuff. But I really appreciated it. It was very nice. I never get tired of people coming up to me saying they like the podcast. I try really hard to make it good. Try to get good guests. We'll have another good one. It'll be somebody who covers LSU. I don't want to say who because I haven't made the phone calls yet, but it'll be somebody who covers LSU. We'll preview the big Florida LSU game, which is gigantic, as we know. Game day there again. Gators are back in a way. I don't think they're all the way back roster-wise, but they're back in terms of national relevance. Thank you, Dan Mullen. We appreciate it. Till next time, I'm Pat Dooley, sports columnist of the Gainesville Sun. I'm deep, I am way back, and I am out of here. The Duly Noted Podcast is presented each week by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's or order online at Zaxby's.com. And by Vistar Credit Union, with locations across Gator Country. Visit VistarCU.org. And also by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. ABC, always be celebrating.